Welcome to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live once again right here from our studios, located this week in the chapel of the Greater Grace World Outreach, right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And, of course, we are continuing the 2018 Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, and thrilled to have you join us by, of course, way of radio or the Internet or Facebook Live. We want to welcome all of our listeners locally here in the Baltimore area, WRBS 1230 on your AM dial. Looking forward to being with you for the next half hour. And, of course, everyone else listening live at gracehour.org and Facebook Live for the next hour, we will be with you. And we want you to know, of course, that you can join us live here at the Convention Center by picking up the phone, dialing one of the following numbers after our guests share various portions from the Word of God today on the wonderful theme, which is this week at the convention, The More Excellent Way. And that, of course, would be 1 Corinthians 13, God's Love. Here are those telephone numbers, toll-free in the United States, also in Canada, 800-338-7060. Again, you can dial that number across the continental United States, also north of us in Canada, at 800-338-7060, and the local number, 410-483-3700. You can always email us your comment, question, or testimony. Our email address is questions@gracehour.org. And we're looking forward to hearing from many of you today, those of you that were unable to join us for this week's convention. Still, we're thrilled that you're able to listen in and receive during this next hour. And we have some guests joining us this week on the broadcast, as we have all week long, and thrilled to have them with us. We're going to begin today with Pastor Richard Shepherd, who started Bible College back in the year 2000. And he was involved heavily in the youth ministry for about 10 years, did an outstanding job working with young men and women, graduated from Bible College in 2012, and then was ordained that same year. Now, he and his family have moved to Lebanon, Indiana, planting a local church. Great to have you with us, Pastor Shepherd. Welcome awesome. To the Grace Hour. Take it away.
Awesome. Thank you. I was thinking this morning with the theme, More Excellent Way, this love theme, and I wanted to read some verses in Romans 5, beginning at verse 3, and Paul writes here, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." And I want to pause there, because scripturally we see two things. And number one, how God assesses us without Christ. The appearance of who we are without Christ. And then we see our assessment of God as we're in Christ. And I was thinking this morning, the wretchedness of man. And we know that in Isaiah 1:5, the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. And Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things. And I was thinking about this one in Mark 7:20 to 23 this morning. There are 13 characteristics of things that come out of the heart that defile a man. And God is looking at man in this condition, and he is wondering, where is there a man that is worthy? And there is none. And Galatians 5:19 to 21, there are 17 sins of the flesh that are mentioned there. And in Psalm 14:1 to 3, God says that we are unprofitable. We've gone aside. We've gone out of the way. And there is nothing in us that would be acceptable to God. And I was thinking that at that point, and let's look back here in Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. It was at that moment he introduced his love. You ever have a new friend, or if young woman, young man, they meet someone of the opposite sex and they really like them, but they have one of those families. One of those families that just embarrasses them all the time. You don't want to introduce this person because it may ruin the relationship somehow. But God is not like this. He sees man and has seen man in this wicked condition. But still, in that condition, God introduced his love toward man. And that while we were yet sinners. And this means that man was in heinous and habitual sin currently. And this is the point where God introduces his love toward us. And I love the phrase that our ministry has quoted time and time again, that love never demands the change, but it produces the change. But love at the same time does not dance outside of the justice of God. God is just. Sin, as man commits sin, is worthy of death. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sins shall surely die. But this same love has created a provision for man to come to God. As he sends his son in John 3:16, for God so loved, and it's this intensity, and it's this quality of love that God has given to man through his son, Jesus Christ. And whosoever shall believe upon him should not perish. And we were destined to perish because of our wickedness and our sinful nature. But this love that God introduces to us gives us a provision. It gives us a more excellent way out. There's no penance. There's nothing that is required. There's nothing that we need to do. There is nothing that we have to be acceptable to, but we have to receive the introduction of God's love, and that love takes care of everything else. And I was thinking in Ephesians chapter 2, I want to turn there. And this is one of the great interruptions of God. And we see in chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, absolutely separated from God, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And if we stop there, how desperate are we? How lost are we? But in our activity of sin, in our wickedness, there is a great interruption. And it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. The great interruption of God, and man is continuing as he was, and we see this in Genesis 6:5, that the thoughts and intents of man's heart was evil continually, but there was an interruption. The drunkard, the promiscuity in people, the wicked liar, the treacherous man is continuing in his sin, but then there's a great interruption, and that's the introduction to God's love. And in closing, I want to mention this little story here. And we find this in the book of Philemon. And Onesimus has stolen something from Philemon. And he has fled. And he is running. And who do you know he meets? The Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul ministers to him and he gives him the love of Christ. And all of a sudden, this man who was unprofitable becomes very profitable. Not because he was so special, not because he had some type of ability, but because the love of Christ was introduced to him and it produced something in him. So Paul is writing back to Philemon and he says, I want you to take him back. I want you to receive him. Once he was unprofitable, but now he is my son in the Lord whom I have begotten. And he says, and I love this verse, he says, I beg you for love's sake. Do it for love's sake. Not for my own sake. Not for anything else, but for love's sake. Receive this man as a friend. Receive this man as someone who has been purchased back because he received the introduction of God's love. And Jesus said to Peter, do you love me? John 21:15. Do you have a self-sacrificing love to me? And of course, we can be like Peter. Not really, Lord. Nope. You're my friend. I care about you. But I don't have that love. And here's the response of Christ. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And I love this picture how Peter had to receive the love of Christ and have the love of Christ work in him. And I love what you said last night in John 20 about Pastor Love, about how the disciple that Jesus loved ran past Peter. I love that. And I couldn't shake that all night long, and I was thinking of Ephesians 3:18-19, that we would know the height, the depth, the breadth, and love of Christ, which passes knowledge, which goes beyond knowledge. And here is the disciple that Jesus loved is running past Peter. And when we think of Peter, perhaps we think about the impulsive nature and the person that's quick to say something that's out of order, the one who can't cut it, the one who can't make it. And sometimes we are like that, but God's love passes all of those things. And here's the picture that I have in my mind, that here is God, and the enemy wants to take the knowledge of your sin to God. And every time he gets there, panting and running out of breath, ready to say that, God, I have knowledge of Pastor Love's sin. And then God says, nope, love already beat you to it. Love already got here first. I know you have some type of testimony, but love's testimony has already beat you to the throne. It's already proclaimed something. It's already spoken on his behalf of who he really is in my son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Shepherd. A great way to get the broadcast started on this Friday afternoon here at the International Convention. Great thoughts, and we'll continue to take a look at those thoughts and rehearse them throughout the broadcast today. Well, our second guest joining us live in the Grace Hour met the ministry all the way back in 1974, and he grew up in our Christian school at that time, and during a 25-year period was not only a teacher, but then became the principal of the Greater Grace Christian Academy here in Baltimore. And in 2014, went to Seoul, South Korea as a missionary, and he has really been pastoring there for the last 3 years. And he is one of our ordination candidates who will be ordained tomorrow night right here at the International Convention. We're excited about that and excited to have Pastor Dan Dunbar joining us live at the Grace Hour today. Pastor Dan, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Wow. That was a good word.
Amen.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this topic of the excellent way in conjunction with this thought that has been recurring to me for over a week now. And I'd like to read a verse from Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. And, you know, we've been hearing about the way And so many messages have clarified what this way is, who this way is, where this way is leading us, how this way is leading us. But unless we take a step on the way, you know, it's just all going to be information that we've received. We need this application. And I was just thinking, like, my own experience, I lived here in Baltimore for 25 years and was working in the school. I was very happy to see people like Pastor Richard graduating and going out and planting churches. And I was very happy to work in the school. But one summer I took a missions trip, more of a vacation in my mind, to go to visit my friend in Korea. And I went to the missions conference there, and traveling around, and I had this experience that's described here in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. There was this voice. It was like a word behind me saying, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. And, you know, I wasn't really certain if I wanted to follow that commission there. It was a little bit alien to me. I was a little bit frightened, confused. But I came home, and this word that I had heard resonated with me, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. And prayed about it, and, you know, make a long story short, you know, I ended up going to Korea. And it reminds me of, you know, the Lord seeing the tax collector Matthew in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. He sees him and he says, "Follow me." And then in John chapter 1, he sees Philip and he says, "Follow me." It's just two words. Follow me. Follow me. And then in John chapter 21, speaking of Peter and John again, you know, Peter is concerned about what's going to happen to John. And I think it's so funny how the Lord says this. He says, you know, what is that to thee? You know, just you follow me. What, like, is that any of your business, Peter? You know, why are you concerned about him? I'm talking to you. You follow me. And if we can do that, we can come up with all kinds of things like distractions from following after the Lord. Like, for me, it was like, oh, well, who will do my job? Who will take my place as the principal of the school? It's kind of sudden and unexpected. Who's going to do it? And the Lord saying, what is that to you? Who cares? You follow me. I've spoken to you. You follow me. And, you know, well, what about my house? What about my car? What about my, you know, stupid things, my furniture and stuff like that? No. What is that? What is that? Really? You follow me. It kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, Jesus is the Godfather or something, you know. Hey, you know, forget about it. You follow me. Follow me. Like, okay, I get it, Lord. And I went, and I had no idea what was waiting for me. And here I am sitting here 4 years later, after having pastored the church there for 3 years. And I was talking to somebody last night, and they said, you know, if you knew that that was what was waiting for you, you never would have went. And I said, yep, you know me. But the Lord just said, that's all the direction he gives. He's like, you follow me. And when you look, if we look at that word follow, it means be in the same way with. Be you, be in the same way with me. Be in the way with me. Take that step. Follow me. Don't just sit here and hear about the way and like really love it and appreciate it and think, wow, that's amazing. Oh, you know, I'm so built up hearing about it. You know, oh, and then you get in your car and you drive away and it's like, that was good. But it's more than that. It's more than that. And I don't think that a lot of us are expecting that, you know, that God is going to be there with a little voice coming from behind you saying, okay, this is the way. Now, follow me. Let's walk in it. Let's walk in it. Don't just appreciate it and hope everybody else is getting it so that they're going to treat you in the way, the more excellent way. But it's for you. It's for you to walk in it as well. And to see where this way is going to take you. You know, Peter, when Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going up for the Passover, Peter said, no, you shouldn't go. You shouldn't go in that way. And Jesus turned on him and said, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. Just get in line and follow me. Walk with me in this way. I'm going to the cross. And I'm going to reveal the more excellent way. I'm going to show you the more excellent way. This is the way. And, you know, for some of us, you know, the more excellent way is the way of the cross. No. You follow me. And you don't regret it. You don't regret it. Once you take the step, once you go all the way. But it's that first step in going, being obedient, hearing the little voice of the Holy Spirit behind you, and then going ahead and seeing where it takes you. It's always going through the cross, but what's there waiting for you on the other side? And, you know, now I can't imagine not having done what I did. I love being in Korea, despite all the craziness that you hear about in the news over here with North Korea and things happening over there. We don't pay that much attention to it. We're just following the Lord in His way.
Amen. Wow, great thoughts from Dan Dunbar, who, again, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
If they had told you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you said that, I could think of was David as a young man, you know, taking care of his father's sheep,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, protecting them, and God delivering a lion into his hand, and then God delivering a bear, and then, you know, all preparation for the time he would stand up and challenge the Philistine champion Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
But sometime after that, now David is being chased like an animal himself through the wilderness by Saul. And if you said, David, if you had known this, and that you'd have to be hiding out in a cave for a number of years, would you have done it? He probably would have said, no, thank you.
Right.
Nope. Here am I, Lord. Get someone else. It's amazing. But when you hear that voice and you sense that God is in it, you don't have to worry about all of the details, do you?
No.
Just trust God.
Amen.
Great thoughts. From our two guests, we have another guest joining us, and he's going to come up and we'll get a microphone for him in just a couple of moments. We want to remind you, friends, those of you that are listening and tuning in to the 2018 Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention, that we're going to be here with you for the full hour today. Those of you, of course, listening locally on WRBS 1230 on your AM dial, we know you'll have to sign off in just a couple of minutes. But for everyone else, stay with us at gracehour.org. and Facebook Live, and send us your comments if you're listening on Facebook Live, tuning in, watching, and listening. Please, again, would love to hear from you, and those of you that have access to a telephone, those phone lines are open. We'll take your calls. Again, as I mentioned, we do have another guest who's going to be sharing with us momentarily, And we're going to wait to introduce him once we get past the first half hour of our broadcast. Don't want him to get started and then have to interrupt him. So we will, again, at the turn of the half hour, we will introduce Pastor Chris Moore. But friends, the phone lines are open. It's 800-338-7060, toll free in Canada, in the United States. And, of course, locally, 410-483-3700. Wow, just a great thought from both of these gentlemen. And Dan, you know, to follow, to be in the same way, be in the way with me. It's always so good to just simplify it, because sometimes we have a tendency in our makeup, in our natural capacity, to complicate everything. But this is just very simple. Just be in the way with me. And, of course, as we heard earlier, that way is the way of the cross. And again, it's not about finding our lives, it's about losing our lives. And then, of course, ultimately we find our lives.
Amen.
Appreciate those great thoughts. And again, friends, Dan Dunbar, tomorrow night, will be ordained here at the Greater Grace World Outreach International Convention with other, again, ordination candidates as well, who will be receiving that. That great responsibility
yeah.
is what it is. I know. And of course, you know, we've been in touch with you through your emails and the updates that you give us from Korea. And, you know, the wonderful thing as far as being a part of the Board of Elders here at the Greater Grace World Outreach and in being involved in the ordination process, it's always such a joy to ordain someone who's not looking for it. There's something very comforting and reassuring about that. Because, you know, most of God's men, when God went after them, they were like, no, sorry, get someone else. But those are the men that he used so remarkably. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow night. Friends, we're going to sign off now for the first half hour. Thank you so much for joining us here in your local station. And again, this is going to wrap up the final broadcast of the International Convention Week here in Baltimore. But, of course, we'll be back next week for a brand new week of broadcast, and we look forward to having you join us then. And we'll probably still have a number of guests that will remain, and we'll probably hear from them next week as well. Thanks for joining us, friends. And for those of you, Facebook Live, gracehour.org, stay right where you are. Another half hour coming your way. And we're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org and Facebook Live. And as we mentioned before the break, the phone lines are open. You can join us. Dial one of the numbers, 800-338-7060. And locally here in the Baltimore area, we encourage you to dial 410-483-3700. And, of course, you can send us those comments on Facebook Live anytime you like. And our next guest is Pastor Chris Moore, who went to Stevens School of the Bible, graduated in 1988, and then in 1988 he was part of planting four churches in the country of Poland. And beginning in 1993, he was part of planting five more churches in the Ukraine. Came back to live in the United States in 1997, and then after that went on to plant two more churches, one in Serbia and another in Cyprus. He pastored the church just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, for 4 years. And for the last 2 years, he has been pastoring a new church plant in Houston, Texas. And, wow, that's a busy resume. We're glad that you found time to join us on the Grace Hour.
Thanks. This is such a blessing to be here. What an honor to be with these men. I have to make one correction. I didn't plant the churches in Cyprus and Serbia. I had the blessed opportunity and honor to assist with that. And so Pastor Tomasz Bulacek and his family, they are in Serbia, and Pastor Speedy is in Cyprus, and we had the honor and the joy to be visiting that island and see something happen for the gospel's sake. Just what an amazing conference here. Thank you, Pastor Love, for inviting us to your conference. Love.
Yeah.
The four excellent
ways. Don't mention it. Don't mention it.
Just three portions of Scripture. Thinking about the more excellent way. In Houston, we've been marching through the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 8, and we're just taking our time in that chapter. If I was stuck on an island somewhere, and I could only take one chapter of the Bible and just live off of that chapter for the rest of my life, I would just take Romans chapter 8 and just digest that chapter. And it's such a rich chapter. And three things. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is a supernatural love of God. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9, Paul said this regarding the way that he was in Asia. He said, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. I'm just reading from the ESV version. But the main text that I wanted to look at together with you this afternoon was in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. And I'll just read these to you. But Elisha said, and remember, this is a scene where Samaria is surrounded by the armies of Syria. And there's a siege going on. The siege has become very bad. It has become incredibly morose and destructive to the point of cannibalism. And the king and his men were in such dismay. And Elisha said in chapter 7 of 2 Kings, verses 1 through 8, verse 1, Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a sheah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned said to the man of God, if the Lord himself should make windows in heaven, how could this thing be? But he said, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. Now, therefore, there were four men, and this is the part that I'd like us to look at. There were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. Now, the entrance of the gate, if you remember correctly, would be like our internet today. It would be the place where everybody goes to get information with the comings and the goings of what's happening in the city. There was all the news that was happening there. Everything that everyone said was in some way was relayed there. And what Elisha had just said in the previous verses was also being rehearsed at the gate, that tomorrow at this time, it's going to be all different. And there were four men, verse 3, at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter into the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. There was death in the city. And if things didn't change, everyone in the city was going to be dead. And if we sit here, we die also. They couldn't go into the city because of their condition as lepers. In Leviticus chapter 13, we know that they were barred from being in society. And so if we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. Let's go outside to the Syrians' camp. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. So they rose at twilight to go to the camp in verse 5 of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and horses, the sound of a great army. What does that remind you of? Well, it reminds us of the previous chapter where Elijah is with his servant and they are surrounded by the king's army. And his servant despairs and says, Master, what shall we do? Elisha prays that God would open his eyes to the armies of heaven, those chariots, those horses, and God opens his eyes and he sees the army of the Lord, the invisible army of the Lord manifested, filling the valleys, the mountains, and every part of the land around Elisha. And so the Lord had made the army of the Syrians to hear the sound of chariots and of horses and the sound of a great army, so that they said one to another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites, kings of Egypt to come against us. So they fled away into the twilight, abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers had come to the edge of the camp, they went into a tent and ate and drank. Can you imagine that? Four leprous men, you know, just in their condition, fingers falling off, you know, just enjoying themselves in the Syrians' camp. How things can change in a day. And they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered into another tent, carried off things from it and went and hid them. We see here that there is just an amazing way that these four lepers take into the camp. It's really a way of faith, but I just want to briefly look at this word risk for a couple minutes, risk. And what does this word risk mean? And what was the risk that they were taking? And what was this story really all about? And so the word risk in the financial world is really that percentage that there is a low return on your investment. In the human sphere, in our soul, in the sphere of our soul, it's that possibility of utter failure. But the word risk is really a relatively new word in the English language. It appeared in the 1600s. And that came with the birth of capitalism. Before the Reformation in the 16th century, fatalism, which was this philosophy that que sera, sera, or whatever God wills will be, with no consideration of the human condition, there was this predominant philosophy of fatalism before the Reformation. And when the Reformation came, there was the understanding that God is sovereign and that God in his sovereignty is in control of things. Yet after the Reformation, I'm just kind of giving you a little background here of this. Yet after the Reformation in the 16 and the 1700s, the age of reason and enlightenment was born. And that brought into a new philosophy called deism, that God was creator, but that he was remote, uninvolved. He was like the absent dad. And that birthed a type of thinking in people's minds that we must be in control of our destiny, that we have to be in control of things in God's absence. And so this created, from the 1600s on, a new word called risk. It was a philosophy of capitalism, of self-determination, where people were thinking, we must create our own future. Don't we see that today? Don't we see that today? And this is where the word risk comes involved. But the Bible really doesn't talk about the word risk per se, but it does talk about two words, fear and control. And fear, and we see that David struggled with fear in Psalm 3. He said that my enemies surround me. I'm inundated by my enemies. I'm physically in danger. And yet at the same time, I'm feeling inside this sense of fear because they are saying that God is not with you, David. You're a man of God, but God's not with you. We don't think that God is with you. And this really kind of shocked David to a place where he began to, in one sense, look at his ratings, approval ratings, and they were going down. And I think that David at that point, get this, at this point, David had the temptation to jump in and begin to control his circumstances because the risk of failure, the risk was coming to a point where he could be out of control. And so David does not do that. He says, I will lift up my eyes to my Savior. He said, God is the lifter of my head. And at that point, David relocates or shifts his identity into the mind of God towards him, that God is the lifter of his head. And he began to become secure in God who held his future. The second way that people react to risk, number one is fear, the second way is control. And that's in James 4, verses 13 through 16, where you see in the business world, they say, hey, we're going to do this and this at this certain time. These are our goals. This is what we want to get accomplished. This is what we think we can do. And this is where we're going to be. And we're going to be at this location at this time. But this is really a mistake. Because with David, David's life was in danger. But one thing that was never in danger with David's life, and the same thing with us, and we as, in some ways, as these lepers, we take these risks, we make these decisions, and one thing that we can always know that is never going to be at risk, and that is our assets in Christ. Our eternal security is never at risk. The love of God towards us will never change. His grace will be abounding towards us in John chapter 1, 14 through 16, grace upon grace. Those assets that we have in Christ, those promises will never fail. And so, in the world of control, people make the mistake. In the world of GPS, weather reports, news, alerts. We have this sense that we are in control because we know our future. But we cannot know what's going to happen. And there's one thing that we can know, and that is God's faithfulness. And I just want to close with this, is that just like these lepers, every one of us in this room and that is listening to this broadcast has something inside of us that's going to be the cause of our demise. Our DNA, a disease that we don't know about, an impending car accident, God forbid, or something. There is a date in the future. We have an expiration date in our physical body. And we are like these lepers. And so why not think about missions? Tonight we're going to have our missions night. We're going to see missionaries from all over the world marching, and we're going to be seeing the result of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. Amen. If these four lepers in their philosophy of, hey, we're going to die anyway, which is subpar to true faith, it's not true faith, but it's just a way of dealing with circumstances. If they can think that way, why not us think this way, that we have only a short few years. Let's take steps of faith like we've never done and not fear failure. Because those assets that are in Christ, that we have in Christ, are never at risk. Our salvation is never at risk. Your standing in grace is never at risk. Your place in the body is never at risk. Because he that has begun a good thing will be faithful to complete it. Amen? Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Chris. Great thoughts on this, the live edition of the Grace Hour, friends. And again, we want to mention phone lines are open. We are having some technical difficulties today with those of you that are listening and watching on Facebook Live. We are unable to receive your comments. We apologize for that. The technicians involved with the Grace Hour are doing everything they can to try to remedy the problem. We haven't done that up to this point. So, again, we apologize for that. But we've heard some wonderful, wonderful portions. And, boy, when you take a few steps of faith, Pastor Chris, you really risk losing nothing. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, friends, you can join us live. And, of course, we have a microphone set up for our studio audience and those of you that wish to share some thoughts with us or make a comment, question, or share a testimony. Please feel free to do so. Step up nice and close to the microphone. Tell us your name, where you're from, and make your comment.
Hi, I'm Jared Beaver. And I'm from York, Pennsylvania, and I just want to speak a prayer request on behalf of Pastor Larry and our church up there in Manchester. We are having a memorial service for the sister of one of our members in our church there, and I just want the Grace Hour to pray for that service. And for a great turnout and for souls to be saved. Hmm. And for the love, the more excellent way to be shown to those people. Thank you.
All right, Jerry, thank you. Father, we do pray as a body of believers for this face-to-face memorial service for this believer. And we just ask, Father, that you would anoint the service, anoint the message. May the word of God be proclaimed in such a way that hope is imparted to those that will be present and that hear, and the resurrection and the life, which is Christ himself, would be so clearly revealed and lifted up that, again, each one listening, each one present, would really be greatly impacted as a result of it. And encourage the family, Father, and all those that will be present, and may the body of Christ rally around this family, support them with their great love. And may your great grace just envelop them today. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, again, if you're here in the live studio audience, and of course you are, step up to the microphone if you wish and share a thought with us or ask a question, share a testimony. We'd love to hear from those of you that are here. On this, the final day of broadcasting during our convention, it is not the last day of the convention. That will be happening tomorrow and, of course, tomorrow night. And tonight, as you heard earlier, is Missions Night. And this is quite an amazing evening here during our international convention because we have what we call the Missions March. And all of the countries in which we have Greater Grace representations will be again, marching throughout the chapel. Flags representing those various countries will be waving. People will be gathering, celebrating what Christ has done around the globe. And it's very, very encouraging because it reminds us that although each of us, every one of us, are in our own local churches, and some of those churches may be relatively small in number and size, we are a part of a great, great, great big work of God that's happening around the globe. And the impact is tremendous. Another gentleman joining us from our studio audience, please let us know your name, where you're from, and share.
Hi, Pastor Love. My name's Mark Hance. I'm from the Malta Church in New York. And I had an interesting chance to do a little bit of study when I was preparing for something back at our home church there. And just to get an idea how serious God is about us, you know, pursuing love. If you look in Acts chapter 22, verse 4, it talks about Saul and how he was describing how he persecuted the way even unto the death. That word persecuted in the Greek is the same word that the Holy Spirit uses in 1 Corinthians 14:1, where it says, follow after charity. So with the same intensity that Saul persecuted the church, and we know like in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, he was breathing out threatenings and slaughters. With that same intensity, God's saying, follow my love. You know, instead of, and he wants us to do that because like Pastor said, when, you know, love produces that change. I mean, God's love is the only thing that can tame mankind. I mean, you think about, you know, Peter, he went from denying the Lord, you know, he said, I'll follow you wherever you go and I'll follow you to the ends of the earth. But then this little maiden, you know, says, aren't you with Jesus? And he starts cursing and swearing and he says, no, no. And he runs away. But, you know, then we know that when he was crucified, there's kind of an urban legend type thing that he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my Lord was crucified. I mean, he went from being a total coward to someone who was, you know, bold for Christ. And you look at Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughters. And then, you know, on the road to Damascus, the Lord stops him. And he goes from doing that to saying, Lord, what would you have me do? And then he goes on to pour out the church saying, I wish I could be accursed. You know, I wish I could go to hell that if just to have my brethren saved. I mean, God's love is the only thing that can really, truly tame mankind. So God is saying with that same intensity that, you know, that same intensity, like when was wrestling with God in Genesis 32. Jacob, he wrestled with God. He said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And it's like God saying, don't let me go until you've got my love and can just go out there and spread it like I did. And that's what's going to change mankind, is that the God's love. It's like at the end of Pastor Stephen's book, he was saying that love is the most dynamic force in all of the universe. So let's go let it loose. I always remember that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate those thoughts, how true they are. Pastors, would like to weigh in, please feel free.
Yeah, I think that just as our brother was saying here and what has already been said during this time, this broadcast, is that when we get to know the nature of God, there is this boldness, there's this confidence knowing that God is in control. And this is something that's been such a revelation to me this year about the sovereignty of God, that when we hear that word sovereignty, we think, the flesh interprets that as a fatalistic way, like, okay, God's going to do what he wants to do, and I'm going to be kind of whatever, you know, kicked to the side. We are not intimate with God's understanding or his mind at that time, and so we kind of interpret that as fatalism, but when we understand the sovereignty of God is different than the Islamic philosophy of fatalism that, like, I was in a taxi. We were going from Bishkek to Almaty. I was by myself in this taxi. This taxi driver was just driving insane. It's a road that's just known for people dying in traffic accidents. And I told him in Russian, I said, slow down. Please slow down. And he said, well, I said, we don't want to die today. And he said, well, and he said in Russian, well, if if it's Allah's will to die today, we will die. And I said, no, it's not Allah's will today that we die, because I'm on my way to a conference and I need to be there. And so the sense of fatalism is that we can't know God and we can't know his plan. But you know what's beautiful about the sovereignty of God is that, yes, God will do what he's going to do and God will do what his plan is. But the difference is that the sovereignty of God is based and founded on his goodness and his grace. And so we can be fully confident in that aspect of the plan of God that we don't know the future about. Do you know that? We can just say, I know, I don't know what my future is, but I know, as we have heard this said, I know who holds my future. That creates just this confidence and this boldness.
And it's so good to hear the Lord speak. And of course, we have heard him speak all week long through the various preachers and teachers that have stood in the pulpit and shared here with the congregation and everyone that's gathered here for the International Convention. And Pastor Dan, to go back what you said, you know, it's that voice from behind you that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. There's no question about the fact that God speaks. I suppose the real question is, are we listening?
Right. And whenever I tell people in Korea about, you know, they always ask me, why are you here in Korea? Why did you come here? You live here? Why are you here? And I tell them about my experience being there and that I really felt that God was speaking to me. And the question always follows, like, well, was it an audible voice? How does God speak to you? Everyone wants to know, like, how does God speak to you? And it's like, well, God speaks to us in many different ways, you know. But for me, it was just this very strong conviction. I just knew. I don't sense this happening all the time, every day. You know, I wake up and God is saying, okay, this is what we're doing today. You know, and outlines the plan. But it's like, you know, when God has something to say, and like you said, if we're sensitive and if we're open to hearing what he has to say, it's very clear. It's very clear. And like mentioning about love, you know, probably you've had this experience as a youth pastor, but, you know, what our brother said, like, love is a very powerful force. You know, and you confront situations, you're dealing with young people, and it's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? That's the question. What are we going to do? And a lot of times the voice is saying, love them. Give grace to them.
That's right.
Love them. And, you know, it's counterintuitive sometimes because you think they don't deserve this. But I had an experience at Eurocon this year where a former student who is now a pastor came up to me and he said, you know, I was like one of the worst kids in high school in your class. And you know what? He says, but my friends and I knew that you loved us.
Wow.
And that made the difference. And I was like, really? Really?
Wow.
It's like love never fails. It's never the wrong thing to do.
That's right.
But sometimes why do we hesitate? You know, the voice is saying, love them. And it's like, but that's not what I would do, God. But it's like, okay, that's why we're doing it, because it's not you. You know, it's what I want to do. So love them.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And we do need to cultivate the habit of listening to what God says. It's interesting because when people talk about prayer, they mention prayer, they say, well, what is prayer? Well, it's we talk to God. Well, what is it called when God talks to you? They would say, well, that's schizophrenia. But the fact of the matter is we talk to God in prayer, and God speaks to us through his Spirit, through his Word, through other believers. I mean, there's so many means and ways in which God can speak with us, so we just have to develop that capacity, that sensitivity to hear what he has to say. All right, we have another guest from our studio audience. Step right up close to the microphone. Tell us your name and share your thoughts.
Hi, I'm Arber from Albania. I'm just a short testimony. I just tell Pastor Love to pray for me. I just want really bad to come in convention, But here I am because of prayers, you know. Mm-hmm. And prayers is so powerful. And when we pray for each other, that all of this life is like prayer, prayer. When we pray for each other, it's like help, you know. Like Pastor Shibeli say, help, God, help. And yeah, I'm so thankful to be in body of Christ here. And yeah, today is the mission march, so I will hold my flag.
And awesome.
It's amazing. And representing, for the prayers.
Representing what country, Arbor?
Albania. I'm from Pastor Dennis Hewlett Church.
Wonderful.
And it's amazing. And we have amazing people like pastors here. And they need prayer, like we need prayer. Pray, so pray for them because they're great men of God. Thank you.
God bless you. Yeah. Now, many of you will remember Arbor's name because when he was in Albania, he would contact us here regularly at the Grace Hour with always one prayer. I want to be in Baltimore. And we heard that and we watched that. We listened to that for a couple of years almost. And here he is today. What a great testimony. God answered his prayer. He's with us. He's here at the convention as well as so many others. And we're so grateful for that. Pastor Richard, would you like to just sum things up, some final thoughts before we sign off?
One final thought. Of thinking of Adam in the garden, God creating him out of the dust of the earth, and he is sinless, in a sense perfect in his innocence, but something happened. And I want us to picture this, that the first man to disobey God and cause this downward spiral for humanity and the weight of that on his shoulder. And what was he thinking? And you know, sometimes we think about ourselves when we fall or we fail, and we are thinking that God, maybe God will leave me, or maybe his grace has run out, or he will not love me anymore. But imagine the first man to disobey God and that weight upon him. And I want us to think of this, that in that garden, God still came to him. And we see many times that God has nothing to do with sin. He cannot look upon iniquity. He has no fellowship with sin. But at the same time, God still came to the first sinner. So just want us to consider that as we leave today.
Ah, great thought. God was just as ready to help Adam in his sin as he was ready to help us in ours.
Amen.
And we thank God for that. Friends, thanks so much for joining us. And we hope you'll join us next week as we continue our live broadcasts right here from the Greater Grace World Outreach. Have a great day, friends.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.